Hello, and welcome to the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives. Hello, and welcome to the Incandescent Radio Network. We are here today with Laura Galinsky, an author, public speaker, and expert on working on purpose. As senior VP of a nonprofit called Echoing Green, based in New York City, she's spreading her message through this groundbreaking organization whose mission is to unleash next-generation talent to solve the world's biggest problems. Welcome to the Incandescent Radio Network, Laura.
Thank you so much, Hope. It's great to be on.
So let's start by talking a little bit about Echoing Green. What exactly do you guys do?
Absolutely. Echoing Green is a 25-year-old nonprofit organization with a mission to unleash next-generation talent to solve the world's biggest problems. And we do this by identifying key populations that are change makers. And one main population of change makers that we support are what we call social entrepreneurs. And Echoing Green helps identify social entrepreneurs with big, bold ideas to attack long-standing problems in the world and have really innovative solutions, breakthrough ideas that will address these problems and solve them forever. And we provide them with seed funding, technical support, wraparound services, and this extraordinary network of community members to help support them as they launch these organizations to address these problems. And since we've been doing this for 25 years, we have over nearly 600 social entrepreneurs who are launching organizations all around the United States as well as in 50 countries around the world to attack hunger and homelessness and human rights abuse and environmental challenges and inequities in education and healthcare, and you name it, we've probably funded and supported a solution in an area around the world.
Can you give us an example of one of them?
Sure. Well, our most well-known fellow we've supported, individual we've supported, is a woman named Wendy Kopp, who launched the organization Teach for America. We helped support Wendy Kopp when she launched Teach for America in the very earlier years when she had a senior thesis in hand with this big, bold idea to address the problem that there weren't enough teachers in the world and that there was a major educational gap, an achievement gap. And yet that there was a growing population of people who wanted impact-driven careers and jobs in teaching and other professions but didn't know how to entree into it. And she came up with creating this two-year teacher corps, and we were early supporters, and it's since grown into a pretty significant movement, not only in the United States with thousands and thousands of TFA alums, but also all around the world. Through her newest initiative, Teach for All.
Oh, how cool is that? So how did you get involved with this project?
I have really been blessed to have been involved with Echoing Green for the last decade. I celebrated my 10 years just recently, and it's been amazing ride for me to be able to be part of this incredible organization. And I got involved right when I graduated from college. I worked at an organization called Do Something. So I joke with myself that I like organizations with strange names, Echoing Green, Do Something. At Do Something started this award program called the Do Something Award. And one of the things that was basically supporting young people who are measurably strengthening their local communities. And I would get these amazing applications from Echoing Green Fellows. So I immediately saw Echoing Green Fellows as a key feeder for this award program that I had launched, and continue to get to know the organization, including inviting an Equine Green award winner named Cheryl Dorsey to be a judge for the Do Something Award. When I was looking for a transition after 6 years helping run the Do Something Award and then eventually becoming program director, Cheryl had just taken over leadership of Echoing Green. She was the first fellow to take over leadership of this organization, and she invited me to work here, and I've been working here ever since, helping work with her to really scale this organization and try to get the idea of social entrepreneurship and that everyone has a role to play in changing their communities as a key component of our work together in our organization.
Very, 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 very interesting. So tell us a little bit about working on purpose. What does that mean?
Work on purpose. Work on purpose is actually a book that I wrote a few years ago. And it's really about how one of the most important ways to kind of organize a life. There's so many different things that we do and can do. And you can really trace your life back through decisions that were made for you or decisions that you made for yourself, and kind of in the most empowering sense, the decisions that you made for yourself to organize this wonderful wild life that we have. And one key way to organizing it is through having a sense of something that is important to you, that is can help create a structure around these decisions and around your life. And that's purpose, something that is bigger than you, something that is important to you, something that matters deeply to you. And yet there's very little conversation around what it means to identify one's purpose, which can evolve and change and should over time, and yet it's one of the most important things that I believe we can identify and surface and work from in our lives. So Work on Purpose is first a book, but now a program within Equine Green that is about inspiring more young people around the key inflection point of school to career to identify their social impact purpose in particular. We're in the business of identifying change makers and really spurring people to take on solutions to the world's biggest problems, and being able to develop the tools to be able to kind of do that throughout one's life, and really have those conversations during that key inflection point so that throughout their lives they have the toolkit to be able to stay on purpose throughout their lives.
Oh, that's really interesting. So let's talk a lot about that. So you have 10 principles and you divide them into three categories. And the categories you've outlined are right for you, good for the world, and be bold. So let's chunk that out. Let's talk first about right for you. What does that mean? And how do you accomplish that goal?
Right for you and good for the world are two sides of the same coin. And be bold is about taking action. And right for you is just thinking about what matters to you personally. What inherently or intuitively is something that you're good at, your skill set, what moves your heart, what early experiences kind of shaped your identity, and understanding what you bring to the table and surfacing kind of your deep cares. I don't even use the word passions because in some ways it's not even surfaced as a passion quite yet, but we all have things that we care about. We all have early experiences that has shaped us. And so part of the principles in the right for you category are about identifying those sometimes hidden elements that make you you. There are three principles. The first one is heart plus head equals hustle. And that is about aligning what you care about with what you're good at to be able to drive heightened driven impact. And the second principle is know what you got, know what you need. And that principle is just about mining your unique contributions. It's really about self-knowledge. We often find that social entrepreneurs that, or just people who have been able to thrive have a real keen sense of what they bring to the table. And so we, through work on purpose, want to identify, we want people to help identify what those unique contributions are. Their unique genius is another way we articulate it.
I love that.
Mind Your Past. Yeah, Mind Your Past is about those early experiences. It's about reflecting on kind of what you were like as a child, what you cared about, kind of things that are intuitively you that you might have forgotten about because there's been so many layers of things that have added on top of other layers that have formulated kind of walls and barriers. So it's about getting back to the raw essence of who you were and understanding those things that parents or caregivers or people around you can see that you might not be able to see, and bringing those again to the consciousness to be able to make informed decisions. And the way Work on Purpose works is that we have a curriculum to instill these principles with a caring adult in this key inflection point of kind of when one's thinking about their path, their career, what kind of contributions they can have in the world. And then we create these fun, interactive activities to be able to instill these principles in one's life.
So give us an example of one of those activities, if you would.
Sure. The Heart Plus Head Equals Hustle exercise is an exercise. It could be an hour to 3 hours long. So we have a range of time frames that it can take. And it can happen in a school setting, in a training, with a nonprofit leadership development background. And it's a way for people to fill out a Venn diagram where they're looking at, they're answering key questions that we surface around heart, what they care about, and then answering in one circle, and then another circle, answering key questions about their head, what they're good at, their skills, their experience, their greatest strengths, and then really about imagining what the intersection would be between their heart, what they care about, and their head, what they're good at, to produce hustle. So that's the kind of the sweet spot in the overlap in the Venn diagram. And then we ask them to try on some of these hustles. So what job descriptions, what titles, what even kind of actions may they take that actually draw in both of those circles? And then we ask them to try it on by imagining what their life might be like. So a lot of our exercises are kind of introspective, and then there's kind of an interactive component, and then and an articulation and a reflection. So then they end the exercise by having a reunion 10 years after they've tried on this hustle, to be able to imagine how their life would have been impacted, so that they really can kind of live and breathe it and get inside of it. And then we ask them to end with taking a specific action, one that's very tangible, that's very doable within 1 week, that will get them closer to identifying their hustle and getting closer to it.
I can see how this would be really effective for entrepreneurs, especially some who are risk averse or they're a little foggy about what they need to do to take the next step. Have you seen that make an impact in that way?
Absolutely. The key, there's from kind of imagining what path one might take to taking action, there's a lot around confidence building and one key component of confidence building is a sense of clarity. So a lot of our exercises and Work on Purpose are about getting very, very clear. Clear about who you are, clear about what you care about, and clear about what kind of actions you want to take. So that really it's just about creating the space and the pattern of action taking. And that's where the Be Bold principles come in.
Very cool. So talk a little bit more about what's good for the world. Why is it important, do you think, for so many entrepreneurs to create something that's more than just themselves or a money generator? Why do you think increasingly people want to be social entrepreneurs?
Yeah, we have seen a big surge of people who truly care about their impact in the world. You could say that it's a tenet of the millennial generation. You could say it's a result of the global world and people having access of the way people live and challenges from war to poverty around the world. You could say a variety of different things, from the values of their older generation, their parents. Whatever it is, it's definitely taking hold, and we are seeing it grow and grow, and we're seeing more programs that are centered around social impact, but yet they're probably could be a lot more, and it requires some thought to think about what about the good for the world is important to you. What problem do you want to tackle? We believe that kind of owning a problem of the world or problems of the world is kind of an important decision in this kind of decision-making path around working on purpose. So good for the world is really about surfacing things you care about in the world. And there are three qualities. The one is blank is what matters. Another one is act on moments of obligation. And the last one is take perspective, someone else's. Blank is what matters is, again, just that raw surfacing of things that you care about in the world, whether it be your local community, education. And it's often nestled in a personal experience that someone's had, or it could be a personal experience through the academic lens, something that someone studied in school really moved them. And there's something very powerful about clarifying what matters in the world, because it does take something that's really overwhelming and makes it very specific. Acts of moments of obligation, we have found that social entrepreneurs, whether they recognize it through this language, this phrase or not, have had what we call moments of obligation. And it's helpful to kind of understand what it means to have a moment of obligation, because it having some language around it does allow someone to recognize it in the future. Moments of obligation are moments or experiences where they have seen or confronted with a problem and or a situation that was deeply moving. There's so many things that we experience each and every day. You know, we go through life, but there's key moments that actually things change. They're transformational, but they're only transformational if we sort of understand it as such, and we take action around it. And it's when those are the way we understand ourselves and our role in the world changes forever because of these deep moments, but only if you don't let them pass you by. So our social entrepreneurs, the people we fund within the Equine Green Network, have acted on their moments of obligation, and their solution was to launch new organizations. Not everyone's solution should be to launch a new organization, but it is helpful to kind of say, you know, these are the three kind of things that happen, or 12 things. Everyone has had moments of obligation. Some of them are dramatic moments. Some of them are really subtle moments, but they're just internally very powerful, where your perspective has shifted because of what you've experienced. You've seen a hardship. You have deeply shaken by something you read in the news that you couldn't let it go. It's just very sticky experiences, and that's moments of obligation. Take perspective someone else's is simply put that to be a solution driver, what we call a solutionist, that the discipline of looking at it from the lens of the different people who are affected by the challenge is absolutely critical in driving a solution that will last, and that taking perspective someone else's is a practice that someone needs to. It kind of comes naturally to most people, to a lot of people, but often because it's a practice that they've sort of stuck to, and so we want to help bring that to life as well. So that's an important kind of good for the world quality that is fundamental in being able to drive social change.
That makes perfect sense. And, you know, I'm so glad that you said don't necessarily start your own organization or a new organization. One of our, in our 8 steps to PR success, step 8 is pay it forward. But really think through whether you want to start your own nonprofit or other organization, because there are so many out there. I think it's something that we see from our PR point of view at Incandescent Public Relations is that so many organizations have a refusal to collaborate. And in doing so, you can try and do what's good for the world and good for yourself, but at the same time, how are you going to make the biggest impact? So I'm really glad that you're asking people to give that some consideration.
That's exactly right. While Equin Green started 25 years ago by the leadership of a private equity firm who was more venture-based, and it was all about finding great people with great ideas and backing them, we also recognize that the right organizations that really need to see the light of day should be supported, but there's few people who are kind of social entrepreneurs that kind of have these big, bold ideas, and we're again in the business to kind of propel them forward. But there's a much larger, much, much larger population of people who want to be part of the solution, who don't have an idea, who don't and shouldn't feel the pressure that to be a change maker, they need to start an organization. And that's where work on purpose comes in, because identifying your social impact path, your work on purpose that's unique to you, shouldn't necessarily have to include launching of a new something or other. It could be very much nestled in collaborating or creating an initiative or creating what I love, a passion project, something that has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Oh, I love that, a passion project. And we're very excited to be running all of these tips, these 10 tips, in the October 2013 issue of Be Incandescent Magazine in our social entrepreneurship column. So people can read a little bit more about this and also check out Echoing Green and your work on purpose articles there. But before we let you go, talk a little bit about what it means to be bold.
Sure. Be bold has 4 qualities, and bold immersion, which is just really just kind of get into the sea of boldness and kind of practice what it means to take big risks. And part of taking big risks is reframing how we see fear. So the second quality is fear means go, not stop, not get shackled by it, but really truly just go for it and recognize fear as kind of a wiser. As you're onto something kind of big. Goal to think big is the third quality, which is that problems in the world are big, they're complex, they're interconnected, and to be able to match the scope of the problem with a big solution, you have to think very, very big. Think like an entrepreneur is the last one, and that really goes, Hope, to what you were saying earlier, that while we want to create a robust entrepreneurship sector, and that's critical for driving social change. It doesn't mean that the action of an entrepreneur has to launch a new organization. I often say be the founder of your career, not necessarily the founder of a new organization. And that's what, but apply kind of the risk-taking, the boldness, and business planning and the elements that it takes to be a successful entrepreneur, but apply it to working on purpose instead of the end result being the launch of a new entity. It could be, but it doesn't have to be.
Right. And I think giving people permission and ideas on how they can be most effective in their lives and have a purpose and live that is really important. So we're thrilled about that. So tell us a little bit more about you. What got you into this line of work?
I have been also very blessed not only to work at Equin Green, but to be raised by a family that believed in what you do in the world and what kind of career decisions you make is a reflection of your values and what you believe is important. So I had a father who was very talented scientist, but really didn't love it, and became a full-time artist and a practitioner of energetic healing, Qigong and Tai Chi. And I watched him go through that transition, and through his example saw how much of a greater impact he was having as doing the thing that was right for him and good for the world. My mom has a similar example as an author and the leader of a nonprofit organization called the Families and Work Institute. And my brother is a very, very talented musician who got his PhD but really decided that being a professor wasn't right path for him. And so he started an institute, a music institute here in New York City called Samba New York. So those examples had really sort of embedded in the DNA of my family and our own paths. So for me, what I really cared about was the intersection between entrepreneurship, social change, and identity formation. And there were kind of few organizations that were in that space, and I've identified two of them and have had really long lives within these organizations, first at Do Something and now at Echoing Green. And that's how I've got involved and how I kind of made the decision to try to find organizations that really lined up with things that are important to me.
And we were talking a little bit before we got started this morning, you're a new mom. So tell us how that's made a change and an impact in your life.
I have a big smile on my face. Yes, it's been always a dream of mine to be a mom. And I'm so happy that I'm the mother of a six-month-old baby boy. And it's really gotten me thinking very differently already. I knew it was sort of a cliche, you know, everything changes the moment your child's born. But boy, is it true. And it's just, I have so much of a greater appreciation to what it means to be truly present. Because with a little baby who's kind of moving around or sitting up for the first time or eating solid foods for the first time, you don't want to miss those experiences. And you also can't because you're so occupied by the things that are happening right in front of you with the baby that you are present in a way that just feels very different from kind of the life that I used to have where I was kind of thinking forward and I was making lists and I was somewhere else no matter where I was. So it's been such a treat. And I'm just so excited for every stage in my son's development.
That is very cool. Well, as a mom myself, I can tell you it's fantastic, and it only gets better and more challenging and more interesting as they get older. So, but I love the idea. But the idea of being present, I think that's so important. No matter where you are, even when you are making lists, you know, it's easy to get off track. So it's beautiful what you're doing at Echoing Green.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, and a work on purpose is a really fascinating concept, and I encourage all of our listeners and readers to take a look at it in the October 2013 issue of Be Incandescent magazine, and of course here on the Truly Amazing Women TV radio show. Thank you again for your time, Lara Galinsky of Echoing Green, author of Work on Purpose. And before we let you go, tell people how they can find out more about your organization and your book.
Sure, it's echoinggreen.org. And that's Echoing Green, Green.org. We're named after a William Blake poem that was all about a better, brighter, more verdant world.
How beautiful is that? Well, on that happy note, we'll sign off and thank you again. And you are listening to the Incandescent Radio Network. We will talk to you soon. All right. That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.